Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with the urgent prophecies of the end days that have come to us through the intercession of the Mother of God. As we know, Jesus and His Holy Mother have come to us in our time with an urgent and pleading message for the world. From the years 1970 through 1995, they would appear to their servant Veronica and deliver a number of earth-shaking prophecies that are about to unfold in our time. And in fact, the prophecies of heaven are unfolding in our time. All one has to do is flip on the news, and you'll be astounded at the ever-increasing floods, quakes, and elemental disturbances. These are all coming about as part of the overall plan of God to now awaken the world to the urgency of our times. On May 26, 1979, Jesus said, "Great elemental tragedies, disasters man-made and God-sent upon mankind, shall increase." And we have on the line our president, Michael Mangan. Good to have you with us, Michael.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners in Radio Land, it's always a pleasure to speak to all, and a happy and blessed new year to all.
Same to you. Well, Michael, as we know, a powerful 9-point earthquake hit the Indian Ocean this past December 26 and generated a massive tsunami that all but devastated parts of 12 countries and left up to 200,000 people dead, not to mention those that are missing. And of course, this has generated a lot of talk in the news. Let's get your perspective, your comment on this.
Well, I think the first word that came to my mind, David, to describe it when I heard of the news, and it kept on developing, is apocalyptic. The scope and magnitude of this disaster is really unspeakable. You mentioned, according to the latest reliable reports, they're talking of at least 200,000 that would have perished. As U.S. News and World Report said, we'll never know the true figure because they don't have a census bureau down there. There's a lot of islands there. As you mentioned, there's still thousands of people missing.
That's the thing. In a normal catastrophe like an earthquake or a train wreck, you know, there's always a good chance they might salvage half of them. But in a catastrophe like this, if they're missing, you can pretty much count on them being gone.
That's true. And, of course, most of the news reports have been saying for the last 3 weeks that this is one of the worst disasters in human history. One of the worst disasters in human history. And I'm quoting, I mean, you not only have the deceased, and God rest their souls, but you have a 500,000 to 1 million homeless. You have thousands and thousands of orphans, many parents now that are childless because their children have perished in this terrible quake. And interestingly, this was a 9.0 quake in the Indian Ocean, the fourth largest recorded quake in earthquake history since they began in 1899 recording or registering these and documenting these on paper. So as you can see, David, we see in these latter days, you see one elemental disaster after another. Really, Our Lady and Our Lord have predicted these through our prophet and our latter-day seer, Veronica the Cross. Let me quote from this message of August 14, 1973, in which Veronica is having a vision. And she says, quote, "There's a large map and beside it a globe of the world. The globe is now turning and turning, and as the globe turns, it's like a movie. The scene keeps changing fast on the left side of the globe. I see islands, and then I see very large waves, and then I don't see the islands. It's like sandbars being washed right out into the water. But now on top of the water, there are people floating, and there are pieces of wood, and there are people bodies." Oh.
Well, that's almost like a carbon copy of what we've been hearing in the news.
It really is, Dave. And here's another striking example. Another striking excerpt from November 23rd, 1974. Again, Veronica is having a vision. Quote, "I see water rising very high over the sides of the land and the houses. Oh, it's like the sea just pounding in over and washing down the buildings. Then Our Lady says, quote, my child, it is truly a sad scene that I must show you." End of quote. Veronica continues. "Now I see a lot of people lying on the ground, and I know they're dead. And now there are people trying to dig trenches, but there are so many, they can't bury them."
Oh, my goodness.
And, David, you may have seen that photograph. I think it was an AP or UPI release of the trenches with the hundreds of bodies being...
Yeah, I mean, this has been the big talk in the news, that they can't get them buried fast enough. I mean, it almost sounds like you got this off of UPI, not from Veronica Lucan.
That's right. And this, of course, as I've noted, Jesus says on June 4th, 1977, a very brief quote here, "You have entered into the time of great sorrows. You will find the heavens in upheaval. Plagues, floods, great heat will befall mankind. My children, it will be a test for all." End of quote.
Do you see this, Michael, as a message from God? Is this a warning to planet Earth?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. We can no longer deny the undeniable. I mean, what else could it be, David? And to all of our listeners, this is the hand of God. This is a warning, a sign we must heed. Otherwise, this will be just a foretaste of what is to come.
But what is it about planet Earth that is inciting the Eternal Father to take this kind of action, Michael?
Well, obviously, I mean, we are not walking in the ways of God. We are transgressing His holy laws. We are not obeying His Ten Commandments. We are violating them, and not only violating it, but we're flaunting it. We're parading vice in the streets now and in the public square. For instance, abortion. Here we are next week scheduled to partake in the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, that infamous decision of January 1973. And how many millions and millions of babies have died since that black day, that, as Our Lady referred to it as a black day. And because of that law that was implemented in the U.S., it has had its ripple effect throughout the world. So literally hundreds and millions of babies have perished because of that decision and also the decisions of the respective governments in their countries. And we've spoken, too, of course, about the increase of homosexuality and now the issue of same-sex marriage. I mean, how long can God tolerate this?
Right, but Michael, people will retort by saying that many of the people that perished in this tragedy were innocent and they were children. How do you reconcile that?
Well, that's a good question, Dave. Our Lady has said many times in the message that the good will die with the bad. In God's divine plan, as Our Lady and Our Lord have said so often in the message, that they are going to remove the children from earth so they do not become contaminated and corrupt.
Harvest them while they're still pure, in other words.
Absolutely. Our Lord said He's removing the children to save their souls.
So it's actually an act of mercy. He's liberating them from this oppression and thinking of their welfare. I heard now, while we're on the subject, that there is a lot of sexual abuse and other types of abuse that is being done to the children in some of these countries.
Right. Well, there's no question about that. And that's, God couldn't be too happy with that. I mean, in South Asia, Southeast Asia, it certainly is known for its problems with children being forced into the sex industry and into a slave labor. And that's well known in those areas. And it's well publicized. I mean, literally, people coming from other countries, tours that are arranged to go to Thailand and these other countries in Southeast Asia to have these immoral relations with children as young as 8, 9, 10 years old. So people talk about how could God allow this?
Well, the answer is, Jesus said, "Woe to those that scandalize the young. It would be better that they were drowned at the bottom of the Indian Ocean."
That's right. That is an act of a loving God when He squashes evil, when He intervenes and tries to enact justice. Because when we know when God does it, He is perfect. And when He administers justice, it will be done perfectly and righteously.
And you know, it calls to mind, too, the manner in which God in His love and in His mercy came and liberated His people during the Egyptian darkness. He smote the Egyptians. But in the same move, He liberated His people with love and compassion, and they walked joyfully out of Egypt while the Egyptians were squashed and killed on every side. And we can really draw a parallel here.
Yes.
Not only with regards to what has happened, but also to what this is leading into with what's going to occur in the near future, in the great chastisement.
That's right. And, you know, Dave, we understand. This is not PC. This is not politically correct to say that God is punishing us for sin. I mean, as you know, most of the ministers and clergy, Catholic clergy, representatives of God, avoid that metaphor or analogy like the plague. But that's where they're doing an injustice.
They were ordained. Part of their office is the correction of others. How are they going to correct the sinners of this earth if they're going to adopt the mentality of sinners?
That's right. That's right. And St. John says, if you love God, keep the commandments. We all know that if you do wrong, then you're going to get punished. Or you might get a warning, but there is also that risk or that threat of being punished. And that is just. I mean, if a child does something wrong, if he throws a ball through a window, then he's going to be punished if he does it intentionally. So that some type of action will be done by his parents to correct him and to remind him that this is not acceptable behavior. And that's why God is intervening here in such a dramatic and supernatural way, because the lesser and minor warnings people aren't getting. So a lady has said that these warnings, that these disasters will increase in volume and intensity, in hopes that we can awaken and alert the peoples of the world.
And of course, those that would question this rationale about God's punitive measures, all they need to do is refer to the good book, the Bible. Time and again throughout the Old Testament, we see that whenever the people forsook God and his commandments, that the good Lord would turn his people over to the enemy, the Babylonians, the Egyptians. He would allow the enemy to molest his people, or sometimes God would strike them directly with lightning or earthquakes. So many times over and over, we see that God punished the Jewish people. So
Right. If
he did it back then, when our indebtedness to God was much less because the passion had not yet occurred, how much more severe will these punishments be now when our indebtedness is much greater? Because of the passion of Christ and what was done for us, our obligations are much more stringent upon us, and therefore the punishments will be more severe if we disregard the commandments now than if we disregarded them in the Old Testament.
That's right. That's right. And I wanted to make that point too, Dave. Of course, you mentioned the Old Testament, and rightfully so, but there are numerous examples that we can cite in the New Testament as well. Certainly the first one that comes to mind is St. Paul in the Corinthians that says the wages of sin is death. St. Luke says you will all do penance or likewise perish. There are consequences for our actions. If we choose to sin, transgress, or offend God willfully, then there are consequences individually and collectively as a society and as a world. And so we are accountable for our actions.
And not only that, our Lord makes it very clear that there are consequences not only for the things that we do, but for our negligences, for the things we don't do. In Matthew 25, he says to those on his left hand that are gathered at judgment day, he says, "Away from me, you cursed, into the fires prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. Naked and lonely, you didn't come and visit me." So he's making it very clear that even these sins of omission very often can be mortal sins, because if they weren't, it wouldn't condemn us to the everlasting fires.
That's right.
So if this is true with regards to omissions, certainly it's going to be true with commissions.
Right, right. And Dave, you know, you mentioned about the sin of omission, and this is what Our Lady is decrying in the message about her clergy, that so many of them, really most of them, from the leaders on down, from our bishops and cardinals on down to the priests, they're not speaking out, they're not speaking up, they're afraid to. They're not telling the people that this is the hand of an angry God. This is God's intervention. You could express it in many different ways, but get the point across that this is the intervention of God upon the world, that your antenna should go up, that there's something amiss here. We're doing something wrong. Everyone needs to become more introspective. What can I do to get better? What amends do I have to make? And we have to do it individually and collectively, as I said before. And I think that leads to our next point, that so many people are saying, well, this is a natural disaster. This is something that happens in the scheme of nature. Well, okay, maybe it is. But the fact is, ultimately, there really isn't a natural disaster. I mean, God controls nature. I mean, don't you think the good Lord could have stopped the tsunami?
Michael, there isn't a leaf that falls to the earth without God's permission. He controls everything.
He does. That's right. And I know some people will look at this as very simplistic, but that is the bottom line. That's at least my image of God, that an all-powerful, an omniscient, an all-loving God could have stopped this, could have prevented it. It didn't have to happen the day after Christmas, and 200,000 people didn't have to perish, and 1 million people don't have to be homeless.
Okay, but the other point, was it even what you would call natural? I mean, it seems to me this was really more the direct hand of God. Like, he took nature in his hands, and he just said, boom.
That's why, David, and to all of our listeners, this particular tragedy, this tsunami earthquake, we have to really sit up and take notice.
We should learn from it.
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, this was very dramatic. I mean, even the head of Italy's National Geophysics Institute said that the quake even disturbed the Earth's rotation. And gravity expert Richard Gross of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, quote, quake may have altered Earth's rotation, may have shortened the day by 3 microseconds. And lastly, David, you've probably read the news reports. Many of these scientists said that the Earth wobbled on its axis. This is pretty intense. If this isn't a sign or a divine sign, then what is?
Well, do you think that this is a sign of what's going to reoccur again if we don't learn from this lesson?
Yes, and I like how you said if, because that's what it is. It's a big if. Will we take this and learn from it? Because that's what heaven's trying to say. In fact, Jesus said on October 5th, 1985, "But why, my children, must we allow all these disasters to happen to you and have to bring you to your knees in prayer? Can you not listen and can you not seek for the truth?" End of quote. There is so much evil and darkness in the world that Jesus and Mary have said over and over in the message that there will be a gradual cleansing of the world. So we talk about Southeast, and it's everywhere. I mean, the good Lord isn't just picking on South Asia. Everyone's going to get it in one way or another. In one way or another. But in Southeast Asia, we talked about murder, abortion, willful murder, homosexuality, oppression of the poor. We talked about the child sex slavery, the child labor. There is a lot of tremendous injustice in that part of the world. And I think this is definitely a clear sign from God that something has to change.
And I also think, Michael, too, that this is a clear and direct sign from Almighty God as to what can happen to the west coast of the United States, which is actually, geologically speaking, more prone to earthquakes than that part of the world. I mean, let's bring this home a little bit now. Here, we're supposed to be a great Christian nation. Those areas are basically not converted, so they may have a little excuse for behaving the way they do. America's supposed to be a great Christian nation, and yet we got Sodom and Gomorrah on our shores. If you've been to the coast of California, you'd have no trouble believing that. Especially, too, California has been very strong with the cloning issue and the gay marriage issue. And I really think that the people on the West Coast should really take note of this and see this as a warning as to what can happen to the West Coast.
And, of course, as you know, Dave, you've had your lesser warnings in the 90s. You had a major quake in 94, was it? And of course, as you know, Our Lady has predicted the great earthquake in California and in New York.
But even as of late, there was some terrific floods in California. Just about a week ago, they had some of the mountain areas that received up to 20-plus inches of rain within 24 hours, and some of the dams were beginning to crack, and they were having trouble releasing the pressure in those dams. It took them several days to get the water out. And had that rain continued another day or two, we would have been in a real disaster mode.
Right.
So that these are warnings, too. We had, 15 or 10 people crushed in La Conchita, California, when 15 homes were crushed in a massive mudslide. So even though this doesn't begin to compare with the scene in Indonesia and South Asia, but nonetheless, these are signs, warnings. And as you mentioned, too, it's not just California. It's not just the South Asia area, but it's all over the globe that these elemental disturbances are increasing in crescendo. I think Our Lady said they will increase in crescendo unto the time of the great chastisement.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, what's so noticeable, too, is the freakish weather that we've had just in the last month. It was reported that the United Arab Emirates reported its first snowfall ever. That, of course, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, is in the Middle East. It's in the desert. It's in the desert. And they reported their first recorded snowfall in the history. So there's just so many freakish things happening. This is the hand of God.
I heard one report that says that Antarctica's melting.
Right. Well, St. Michael said on November 1st, 1985, Dave, quote, earthquakes will increase, floods will increase, there will be much weeping and gnashing of teeth throughout the world as calamity upon calamity befalls mankind. And why? because you do not listen to the Queen of Heaven. End of quote.
And I think that brings us to the solution, that we should listen to the Queen of Heaven, no?
Absolutely. This is it. Absolutely. And listen to your conscience, your true, informed conscience. You know what's happening. In fact, I wanted to touch on that point, Dave. I was reading in some of the reports that some of these poor people in Asia where the tsunami struck, they, of course, obviously were bewildered and traumatized, obviously, some of them. But many of them were reported as saying out loud and expressing and communicating, is God punishing us? Is God intervening? And I thought that's interesting. And I think we all have to ask that question, because after all, the video images of this tragedy were flashed throughout the world. It was on everyone's 6 o'clock news. They saw the tremendous magnitude and scope and violence of this tsunami. It was incredible. The devastation, the death was staggering, and everyone saw this. And so we hope that everyone's antenna is up. Everyone is asking, gee, is God speaking to us in this way? Is there something wrong? And so we say, yes, there is something wrong. We have to get back to observing God's ways, the Ten Commandments. Certainly Our Lady has been begging and pleading for centuries to pray the rosary, to wear the brown scapula. Obviously, as a Catholic, to attend daily Mass, if possible, to be an example of tradition and prayer in your parish church, to receive only from the consecrated hands of a priest, to receive it on your tongue only, and kneeling. The point is to show reverence and holiness for the Eucharist.
I really think this is really the crux of the issue. When all is said and done, I mean, you can cite the various sins of our time that are bringing the hand of God upon the world, but really the source of all this is the lack of adoration and reverence within the very bosom of the church. When the condition within the church itself is poor, then it's going to have its ripple effect outside the church and throughout the world. If the church was enlightened with the light of truth, the light of tradition, then this would tend to enlighten the world around it. But when the church goes into eclipse, then certainly the world will go into darkness. So really the clergy and the bishops especially hold a great measure of responsibility for not only these minor disasters, but the ultimate chastisement that's coming, would you say?
Yes, well, this is what Our Lady and Our Lord have said in the Message of Bayside and in previous authentic visitations from Our Lady. She has said the same as well. So, yes, absolutely, the bishops and cardinals, certainly the priests, as representatives of Jesus Christ, yes, they have a great obligation to speak the truth, to speak it boldly and clearly, in season, out of season, when convenient and when inconvenient, to use the expression of St. Paul. And they should do it fearlessly and caring. What is true charity, as Our Lady and Our Lord say in the message, that if one of your neighbors, your loved ones, your family is sinning, if they are offending God, to take them aside in a nice and charitable way and inform them that what they're doing is wrong, and that if they do not reform their ways, then their soul is in great jeopardy, that they can go to hell. Yes, hell exists. I know that's a dirty word. You're not supposed to say that. But that...
charity is always to say the truth. We must never apologize. St. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Who's going to dare say that St. Paul lacked in charity because he was hard on some of his, or straight, or strict on some of his doctrines?
St. Paul
was a very angelic doctor, a very angelic apostle. And he says, I am not ashamed of the apostle. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I think that sets the stage for all of us, especially the clergy today. We should say the same thing, that we're not ashamed, especially of this message from heaven.
You talk about the two great commandments. Apologize for anything.
The two great commandments. The first is, we love our God with our entire mind, heart, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Well, we can bring this home, that we will embrace this message from heaven, respond to it with all the love and gratitude of our heart, and bow down our head to this message. That'd be love for God. And in our love for our fellow man, bring this message to our fellow man. That's the purest love for neighbor too, because therein is contained all these things, Michael, that you've been saying, that we return to the commandments, that we go to church, that we go to confession, that we give to the poor, and so on and so forth. And by just bringing the message, it's kind of making life, make our task a little easier, you know?
Amen, Dave. Well said. There is nothing greater that you could do, really, than to give this beautiful and powerful message of Jesus and Mary to the world.
Well, let us continue then.
Absolutely. Amen to that again, Dave.
Okay, Michael, well, it's good having you with us, and hopefully we'll be speaking with you again on this and other timely subjects.
Thank you very much, Dave, and God bless you and to all the listeners.
All right. God bless.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and that was SMWA President Michael Mangan on the line, commenting on the massive tsunami that devastated parts of South Asia this past December 26. And of course, we've been hearing about these quotations from Our Lady for the past half hour. Now we're going to give you a chance to write in for the printed information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website is www.smwa.org. And when you write or visit us, you might inquire about our 2-inch wooden crucifixes for your doors. Our Lady and our Lord have asked that we place a crucifix on the front and back doors to our homes, because as you heard today, these prophecies are going to hit home on our own soil, any time, any day. Jesus has given his promise that if you keep the crosses on your doors, you will pass through the coming calamities, quote, with little damage or none at all. Just as it was in the Egyptian darkness with the passing of the Lamb, so will it be in our time that the angel of death will bypass any home that has the Lamb of God upon their doors. So this is certainly an item we want to have on hand during these apocalyptic times. To order these items by telephone using your credit card, simply call 1-888-830-SMWA. That's 1-888-830-SMWA, and please be advised that that number is for credit card orders only. We do remind our listeners that your tax-deductible contributions are necessary to keep this program on the air, so we do appreciate your generosity in this respect. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That website again is smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you in the days ahead. Stay tuned to part two of Tsunami Disaster, Is God Angry? Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with the urgent prophecies of the last days that have come to us through the intercession of the Mother of God. Well, it's already been called by many the second deadliest disaster in human history, the tsunami to hit South Asia this past December 26. According to the most reliable sources, the death toll of the tsunami is approaching the 250,000 mark, which would put it only second to the devastating earthquake of the 16th century, which claimed some 800,000 people in China. These dire events of the last days have already been predicted by Christ and His Holy Mother through their servant, Veronica. And we have here a quotation from Veronica that may strike a chord of interest. This is Veronica describing a vision that she received from the Virgin Mary and Jesus on August 14, 1973. Now, this is Veronica relaying her vision in ecstasy. I quote, "Now I see, it looks like a large picture and a movie picture, almost. There is a large map, and beside it a globe of the world. The globe now is turning and turning, and as the globe turns, it's like a movie. The scene keeps changing fast on the left side of the globe. I see islands, and then I see very large waves, and then I don't see the islands. It's like sandbars being washed right out into the water. But now on top of the water, there are people floating, and there are pieces of wood, and there are people, bodies." And she exclaims, "Oh." Now that was Veronica describing her vision on August 14th, 1973. If we didn't know any better, we'd say that that's something that came off the recent 6 o'clock news. Certainly sounds that way. Needless to say, the prophecies of heaven are unfolding as we approach the time of times. On August 4, 1979, Our Lady said, quote, "The catastrophes from the elements and accidents shall increase unto the time of the great chastisement." And we have with us on the line once again our president, Michael Mangan. Good to have you with us, Michael.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners in Radio Land, it's always a pleasure to speak to all.
And Michael, it seems it can't be emphasized enough that the tsunami that hit South Asia was the direct intervention of God.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. We can no longer deny the undeniable. I mean, what else could it be? This is the hand of God. This is a warning, a sign we must heed. You could express it in many different ways, but get the point across that this is the intervention of God upon the world, that your antenna should go up, that there's something amiss here. We're doing something wrong. Everyone needs to become more introspective. What can I do to get better? What amends do I have to make? And we have to do it individually and collectively, as I said before. Will we take this and learn from it? Because that's what heaven's trying to say. In fact, Jesus said on October 5th, 1985, "But why, my children, must we allow all these disasters to happen to you and have to bring you to your knees in prayer? Can you not listen, and can you not seek for the truth?" End of quote. That is the objective of heaven, is not to punish us, not to inflict us with these great tragedies of pain and suffering and loss. No one, obviously no one wants this.
But God has deemed that
what other way is God going to get his message across to us? There is so much evil and darkness in the world that Jesus and Mary have said over and over in the message that there will be a gradual cleansing of the world. So we talk about Southeast, and it's everywhere. I mean, the good Lord isn't just picking on South Asia. Where everyone's going to get it in one way or another. In one way or another. But in Southeast Asia, you talk about the four sins crying to heaven for vengeance. Murder, abortion, willful murder, homosexuality, oppression of the poor, defrauding the labor of just wages. We talked about the child sex slavery, the child labor, the violence and ethnic strife. St. Michael said on November 1st, 1985, Dave, quote, "Earthquakes will increase, floods will increase, there will be much weeping and gnashing of teeth throughout the world as calamity upon calamity befalls mankind." And why? "Because you do not listen to the Queen of Heaven," end of quote. And you can see now, it's, these disasters are getting more and more intense. In fact, when you think of it, Dave, probably two of the most dramatic and sensational disasters have occurred in just the last 4 years. 9/11 in New York, and now this tsunami earthquake in South Asia.
And it does call to mind our Lord's prophecy of May 26, 1979, when he said, "Great elemental tragedies, disasters man-made and God-sent upon mankind shall increase." So 9/11 was man-made, sort of, demon-made, and this one was more directly from God.
People's perception of God is so warped today. I think we should touch on a little bit about God's holy wrath, because so many people say, well, God is a loving God, and he wouldn't allow or permit something like that. And although we touched on it a little bit, I think we need to explain to our good listeners a little bit some of the insights that Our Lady has given in the message. And, for instance, on March 18, 1977, Our Lady says, "The merciful heart of the Father watches patiently. But I repeat, the sands are fast running out of the hourglass." And then Our Lady on September 28, 1977, quote, "It is a just God who will place judgment upon mankind. He is truly a merciful God, but you must not provoke his anger," end of quote.
But when his anger is unleashed, there is no flaw in it. That in itself is perfection and charity, and it's the perfection of God. Who is mere man to say that there's something wrong with God's justice?
That's right.
Who does man make himself to be? If we believe and we maintain that he is God, well, we have to prove it. What about the holy fear of God? which is the beginning of all grace and salvation. God is God, and if he wants to strike the earth, that's certainly his prerogative. He created the earth. Who are we to question?
That's right. And unfortunately, people look at it the wrong way. They think that if God allows this, that this is a cruel, tyrannical, or indifferent God. But this is a just God who is ridding the world
exactly.
of evil, who is trying to send a message to the world that it is mercy, that look at guys, shape up, or else. This is his mercy in action, really, when you think of it. It's not so much punitive measures, if you want to, it's more his...
He leaves it up to us, Michael. The will of God is that the world will be cleansed from injustice and oppression and sin. Now, he's leaving it up to us. He's giving us the chance to do this ourselves, and he's being very, very patient about it. We have the option to clean the world up ourselves. It really wouldn't be that hard to do. Now, if we don't do it, well, then he'll do it himself. But one way or another, the world's going to be cleansed. So that in itself shows his mercy. He doesn't have to do things that way.
That's right. And even in his holy wrath, or even in his anger, he's loving and merciful, because as we touched on earlier, Dave, specifically, Our Lady has said over and over in the message that many children are going to be removed. And interestingly, in this great tsunami, a disproportionate amount of children perished in this tsunami. I mean, the headlines in the New York Times said, many children perish in this disaster. And Our Lady said on September 7th, 1974, quote, death will be commonplace in your world. Many children will be removed from among you. End of quote. And another interesting quote from Our Lady, September 6, 1975, quote, there shall be great disturbances of nature. There shall be floods, earthquakes, and great loss of life. Pray that this destruction does not come close to your families. Many children shall die. And lastly, Jesus on September 14, 1976, quote, many children will be taken out of your world, my child, to save their souls. End of quote. That is a tremendous mercy, because, Dave, what's better? As difficult as it is, obviously we understand, we extend our sensitivity and compassion to parents who have children. We know how difficult it is. But when you have the eyes of faith, what is better that if the good Lord does maybe take your little one, which is really God's little one, when you think about it, or that the child grows up and he loses his soul? Because in this day and age, in this darkness, as Our Lady said, that has just covered the earth, you can so easily become corrupted and contaminated. You can easily lose your soul forever, forever. But God in his mercy, he's reaching out. He's going to take these children so that they can be with him in bliss and peace and love forever and ever, before Lucifer and the evil one contaminates them.
Right.
That's love.
Absolutely.
That's mercy.
Absolutely.
Love to me, Dave, is when he whacks these monsters.
There you go. It's a heroic. When you whack the monsters and you whack the oppressors and you come to the defense of the innocent, the humble, and the brokenhearted, that is the greatest. And that's exactly the way Christ was when he came to the world. He always rebuked the Pharisees and the hard-headed Pharisees and the scribes, but he was always gentle, even with great sinners, but those sinners that would show even a grain of repentance or who would listen to him, it was all hugs and kisses. But boy, he was hard against the proud and the arrogant. So he came as a hero to rescue the humble, but at the same time to squash all the injustice. So to me, that is the apex of love and heroism, and that's what the Eternal Father is doing now.
Absolutely. I mean, that is love.
Yes.
When you do whack these monsters, particularly in South Asia, that are peddling this smut, that are using these little girls and boys, and the people that partake of this, and this is a huge problem there, and the child labor, forcing them into this sex industry. And this is a serious problem over in South Asia,
yeah.
Among other things. It's unfortunate, as we read earlier from a quote, like Jesus said, do we have to send these disasters? Just listen to us. Mm-hmm. Just amend your ways. Be God-fearing. We need to introduce more pro-life legislation. We need to introduce more God-fearing laws in all of the countries of the world. Or we all are facing doomsday. And that's also what it's leading up to.
It's a good reminder, too, for the Baysiders. We have to step up our efforts to keep this message going throughout the world and to try to reach all the people throughout the world with this message.
Right. And, you know, too, Dave, another interesting point, too, is how sudden and quickly this disaster struck. And again, this is what Our Lady and Our Lord has warned us, too, that this is going to happen. Our Lady on June 18th, 1981, "For in an instant death will come upon your land, and many shall be claimed. Will you be ready? Have you prepared your children? Have you prepared your household? Many parents shall cry." End of quote.
And of course, this happened on the other side of the world, but this also would apply to us here. I think
Absolutely.
In an instant, death is going to hit our land too. Our Lady said there's going to be a great minor chastisement. She said there's going to be a great earthquake to hit the east and west coast of the United States. One message, she said that the U.S. will soon be divided in land by disaster. So again, I think we ought to learn from this and bring this home to understand that if we don't learn from this and heed Our Lady's message, we're going to be seeing these things hit home on our own soil.
I think that's one major lesson that most Americans learned with 9/11, that we're no longer impenetrable. We're no longer invulnerable. We are vulnerable. We are subject to these attacks. Anything can happen anytime, anyhow, anywhere. And so we must be ready. Jesus says on August 4th, 1979, David, quote, "Your life upon earth is but a short pilgrimage. You do not know the day nor the hour when you will be removed. What guarantee do you have now that you will be prepared unless you live each day as if it was your last day upon earth?" End of quote.
And our Lord, I believe it was May 31st, 1981, he says, "This is no time to go out into new pursuits. You will spend your days being ready for what is going to come upon you." So that would especially apply now at this time.
Absolutely, David. How many times does Our Lady and Our Lord say in the message, if you're not ready now, you'll never be ready? That get ready now. We hope and pray, David, and to all of our listeners, that people will see this great tsunami earthquake for what it is, that it is a sign, a warning from God to get our act together, that people recognize this as the hand of God, and that if we don't get our act together, if we do not return to the ways of God and the Ten Commandments, as we spoke about earlier, that he's going to intervene in a more dramatic, in a more spectacular way, with increasing deaths.
Of course, we know there's going
violent acts of nature.
There's going to be the eventual great warning that God is going to send to the world. Our Lady said there would be warnings increasing in crescendo until one final warning is given, which, of course, we have talked about before. This will be a worldwide cataclysmic catastrophe that will be witnessed the world over. Every person on earth is going to experience and witness this intervention from God.
Right.
And then, if that's not heeded, shortly thereupon, we will witness the great and final chastisement, which will consist of nuclear World War III, and also our being planet struck by the Ball of Redemption. It's a fiery comet. And, you know, it's interesting because maybe, you know, I think that the approach of this comet, as Our Lady has said, will bring about some of these climatic changes and these geological disturbances.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, David, we remember every day in our community rosary all the victims of the tsunami. We have donated to the cause. We've encouraged all the people in our organization to pray and to do their corporal work of mercy and helping the poor people there now. And we've been praying for a speedy relief mission there. So our hearts go out to them. We'll make no mistake about it. Our hearts go out to them. But that's all the more reason, David, and to all of our listeners, we don't want to see this happen again. We do have the power to prevent it. Please, that's what Jesus and Mary are trying to say us. This message is conditional. We don't have to have another unspeakable tragedy of this scope and magnitude to whack us. We can prevent it with love, with being thoughtful and caring, and loving our neighbor.
And in our love for our fellow man, bring this message to our fellow man. That's the purest love for neighbor, too.
Absolutely.
We're going to break right now. We'll be back with Michael in just a few minutes. But right now, we'd like to give our listeners a chance to write in for the free printed information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's, World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Or you can call our toll-free line. That's 1-800-345-MARY. Our website, www.smwa.org. And when you ride or visit us, you might inquire about our 2-inch wooden crucifixes for your doors, which go only for $1. Jesus and Mary have asked that we all place a crucifix on both the front and back doors to our homes. Our Lord has given us promise that all that keep the crosses on the doors will escape the coming calamities, quote, with little damage or none at all. So this is certainly an item we want to have on hand during these apocalyptic times. To order these items by telephone using your credit card, simply call 1-888-830-SMWA. That's 1-888-830-SMWA. And please be advised that that number is for credit card orders only. This is St. Michael's Broadcast, and we're going to listen now to a recorded segment of the Seer Veronica receiving a message and vision from Jesus on July 25, 1985. Just to orient you once again, these visitations took place during the years 1970 through 1995 at the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York, commonly referred to as Bayside. During vigils of prayer, Jesus and His Holy Mother would appear to Veronica and impart to her these messages and prophecies. The following segment opens with Veronica receiving the message from Jesus, whereupon she goes on to describe a dire vision that is given to her.
My mother, for many earth years, has acted with her heart to protect you. How many times the heavy hand of the Eternal Father reached down to start out the calamities with the ball? And how many times did Our Lady rush forward? How many times did my mother rush forward to save you? Now Jesus is taking His right hand and He's pointing it upward like this. See, my child, what mankind shall suffer. I see the United States. I see Canada. But I see part of the coastline being worn away. There are waves, high waves, washing over the land. People are running, but they waited too late. They didn't listen. And they're being carried out to sea. Dead bodies. Now, in the United States, I see people running. But this is a race war. I see a whole group, it looked like the whole continent, running. But they're dark-skinned, they're black-skinned, and they have all types of instruments. I think one is a machine gun that shoots many bullets, and he's... Oh, and now they're lying on the ground, dead. Oh, it's terrible. Now I see Jesus is pointing upward. Look high into the sky, my child. Look high. Raise your head. I see a ball of fire. It's coming fast through the sky, and it has a long red tail. It's red. It's fire. And now it's coming down to what looks like a ball, but no, it's the earth. And oh, it has hit through the water. It's brushed through the water. And there are waves rising higher, higher than anything possible that I could have seen. The waves are terrible. They're washing half of the continent out to sea. Now, the sky is growing very dark. Jesus is pointing to Our Lady, and they're coming down from the sky. Our Lady is touching her lips. Do not be affrighted, my child. It is best that you bring forth what is to be. Perhaps with your prayers and your penances, you can reach some of these souls in darkness before their time runs out.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of the Seer, Veronica, receiving the message from Jesus at the vigil of July 25, 1985. And of course, we read earlier from Veronica's vision of August 14, 1973, where these islands became like sandbars being washed out to sea with the high waves. And so we see that one by one, the prophecies of heaven are coming to pass, rather dramatically, I might add. We return now to SMWA President Michael Mangan and our discussion of the tsunami to hit South Asia. Michael, in a word or two, how would you describe this tsunami?
We had spoken earlier about one word that defined this great tsunami earthquake, and I had mentioned apocalyptic. And I think it's interesting, if you go to chapter 16 of the Apocalypse, and you go to verse 4, that particular verse may describe this great elemental disaster. Let me read that now. That's chapter 16, verse 4 of the Apocalypse. Quote, "And the third poured out his bowl upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood." Let me repeat that. "And the third poured out his bowl," or vial, as some translations have it, "upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood."
So now the third would mean the third angel.
Correct.
And then, so could that possibly be interpreted that this third angel poured out the ocean, the vial, emptied it out onto the land where the fountains and the rivers are and where the dead bodies are floating?
Well, this is it. I mean, you have perhaps 200,000, as we mentioned earlier, as U.S. News and World Report said, we'll never know the true figure. It could be much higher than that. That is a lot of blood that's in the Indian Ocean. We know, too, that many bodies have not been recovered. Many of them were swept out into the Indian Ocean. That is a massive burial ground as we speak, unfortunately. But the point is that there is a lot of blood in that ocean, and that could apply to this. And I think the point is, too, that Our Lady and Our Lord has said to be sure to read the Apocalypse or the Revelations of St. John, because the pages are unfolding faster and faster. So it behooves us to review and to pray to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, for enlightenment, and read that good book of the Bible, that prophetic book of the Bible. I was just reading how there's a bestseller right now from some scientist that's saying almost something similar to us, that we're going to get more disasters and like the end of the world is coming. But it's not because God is intervening. It's not because of sin and transgressions and offenses and that we're not walking in God's ways. No, it's because of man's abuse of the environment, because of the magnetic field, because we're abusing Mother Earth.
It's almost like they're deifying the Earth like some sort of a god. Like
right.
They're bowing down to the earth. It almost reminds me of what John Lennon used to say, karma's going to get you.
Right. I mean, and this is so tragic.
They're missing the point.
It's nothing to do with that this is an environmental disaster or an environmental flaw on the part of man.
Well, there's never been anything said in the Bible that it's any great crime to spill a little goo on the earth.
Right.
I mean, we have to, when you're talking about right and wrong, you got to go on God's terms. We can't make up our own gospel. And God has never said, thou shalt not offend the environment. He says, thou shalt not offend me.
That's right.
So, I mean,
God is the creator of the environment.
Right.
That's right.
And I think we got to be especially concerned about the spiritual environment. This is where we got to keep it clean. And this is what we're not doing, and this is why these things are happening.
That, absolutely, Dave. Excellent point. That's the number one priority. And Our Lady said on December 7th, 1971, quote, "The forces of nature will be used against you. But this will not be from man. This will be from your God." End of quote. And lastly, my final comment, David, and to all of our listeners, is an excerpt from the Message of Heaven of February 1st, 1977. Quote, "You who laugh and scorn this message, the day will come when there shall be much gnashing of teeth and woe set upon the earth." End of quote. Thank you, David,
for
giving me some time and to speak to all of our wonderful listeners in Radio Land.
Well, hopefully this broadcast,
whoever will listen.
Yeah, hopefully this broadcast can reach far and wide. Who knows who may be duplicating these things, and maybe at this point we could increase our coverage with St. Michael's Radio and reach far and wide, and maybe this can be instrumental in tipping the scales and heaven's direction. We can only do what we can do.
That's right, Dave. We're hoping and praying.
And we pray and ask, remind our good listeners out there that this radio broadcast is dependent on your financial gift offering. So if you'd like to see these sort of discussions aired regularly, then send your gift offerings today, made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. Thank you, Michael, for joining us.
Okay, thank you, David, and God bless you. Keep up your good work as moderator for St. Michael's broadcast.
All right, thank you.
You are listening to St. Michael's broadcast, and that was SMWA President Michael Mangan on the line, now for the second week in a row, to discuss with us this great and apocalyptic event, the great tsunami that hit South Asia this past December 26. And by the way, both last week's and this week's show are being made available on CD or tape. And so those are available to you upon sending us $4.95. Please add $2.50 for shipping and handling. The printed information is yours at no cost. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That website again, smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you in the days ahead.